Open your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to continue our series today, Called by Grace. I want to remind you now, at the end of the service, we will be receiving our missions offering, so don't forget that. We want to make sure our missionaries are helped and taken care of. Before we get into the Word, though, let's stand. Everybody stand up together. Get your Bible in your hand. Let's stand up before the Lord. This is an act. We're all in this together. Amen?
Amen.
Say this out loud when they say, Father,
we
come before your word,
in the name of Jesus.
We are requesting today that you open the eyes of our understanding. Give us wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are gathered together in His name, fully expecting revelation, wisdom, insight, concepts, ideas to come from heaven's throne to my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We've been talking about being called by grace, and you know, doesn't really matter where you are in your walk with the Lord. You know, if you've been a Christian for 50 years or if you've just been a Christian for 6 months, the Lord is always desirous of us to move up higher in our call. He's always, you know, I'm convinced that the Lord put something in us, in Adam and Eve, when He said to them, go into all the earth, take dominion, replenish, be fruitful, multiply. Basically, the Lord was just saying to them to increase. You know, and we're not talking about greed. We're talking about prosperity. We're talking about being prosperous in your life. You know, I think that we see that in every. There's something within us. There's something on the inside of us that wants to be more prosperous this coming year than we were this past year, that wants to see us increase in our lives, that wants to see more victories, that wants to see more healings, that wants to see things be productive and increase and multiplied in our life. And, you know, we don't ever want to be ashamed of that. You know, we don't ever want to have to apologize for believing that God wants us to increase. You know, if we're talented, He wants us to increase in our giftings. He wants us to increase in our participation. You know, Beth and I have made a commitment for probably 32 years now that every year we look at our giving record. We look at what we give financially. And we just determine at the beginning of every year to increase that. That's just something we've done for years, that we increase our giving. God has never caused us to lack. I mean, God has never caused us to be really in want. I mean, you know, and when you think about your life, I think there's something inherent within us that we desire increase. We desire to prosper. We desire to move in a higher realm, if you want to call it that. The Lord, I believe, is calling us up higher all the time to be more developed emotionally. You know, He wants us to get to the place that we're not emotionally directed and driven through our entire lives, but that we allow the truth of the Word of God to direct our lives. You know, He wants us to get to the place that our emotions aren't causing us to be on a roller coaster. He wants us to have straight pathways for our lives and be able to walk that straight pathway that He puts out in front of us. He wants us in our lives to get beyond the emotional whirlwinds that the world throws at us all the time. You know, He wants us to get beyond that. Not that we can't serve, not that we can't love, not that we can't be concerned or that we're not in prayer, but that we don't let those emotional winds come and just sweep us away from the purpose and the plan and the direction that God has for our lives. Can you say amen to that? He wants us to prosper in our spiritual realm. He wants us to prosper in understanding of the Word of God. He wants us to understand His truth and revelation that He brought in the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants us to He wants us to grab hold of the revelation knowledge that's in His Word. You know, I'm convinced that God desires for us in every area of our lives, in raising our children, in our relationships, in our finances, in our church life, in every area of our life, to come up higher, to come up higher, to come up higher. I'm convinced that God desires for us as a people to come up higher. He desires for our church family to come up higher. And what I mean by that, I don't want to take away from the positional truth that we are seated in heavenly places in Christ. That is a truth that we are seated there in Christ. We are in Him. But you know, that's a positional truth. That is a truth that is in the Word of God. That we are found in Him, not having a righteousness that's of our own, but a righteousness that's of His. But that is a positional truth, and we don't ever want to take away from the positional truth, but we don't want to lie about the condition that we live in. Amen. Amen. Faith does not deny reality. Faith changes reality.
Amen.
Amen. Faith doesn't deny reality, and you know that I think a lot of people have gotten in trouble with faith because they deny reality. Right. If there's not enough money to meet the bills at the end of the month, we don't need to write faith checks, amen? We don't need to write hot checks. We need to look at reality. We need to say, okay, where are the holes in my pocket, so to speak? Where is that money going out? Where is it? You know, this old saying that I love that I heard years ago, if your outcome is more than your income, your upkeep will be your downfall, amen? It's so important for us to realize, you know, we don't have to have everything that our little beady eyes want. Y'all know Joel Osteen, right? I mean, Joel Osteen is a real popular preacher, but his dad, John Osteen, is the one that founded the church that Joel's the pastor of now. And John labored, and John and Dodie labored and set that foundation for Joel to come in. And I mean, when Joel came in, the foundation was laid. And when the foundation was laid, you can see what could happen. But John Osteen always used to say, you don't have to have everything your little beady eyes want. Amen. He's told the story one time about this church. These churches started coming to their church when their church became very prosperous and growing and developing and just a lot of things happening. He said some other churches started coming to him and said, we want to borrow some money from you. He said, borrow some money from me? Nothing. He said, we believe God and got it. You believe God and get it. Amen. He said, you exercise your faith. And you know, that's biblical because when you think about it in 1 Corinthians there, Paul wrote and said that we will increase as our faith increases. We will increase in life with whatever, if it's emotional, financial, socially, spiritually, we will increase as our faith increases. Anything above our faith level is greed. We're not greedy or covetous people. We guard and we don't like greed. We don't like covetousness. We don't even want to go down that pathway. We don't want to focus our life on materialism. Our life is hid in Christ. Our life is hid in God. But also, right on the other hand, we don't want to deny that God desires for us to be developed. He desires for us to grow. He desires for us to come up higher in Him. He desires for our lives to look back and look back over a five-year period and say, my, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done over the last 5 years of my life. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
I just want to share with you today some simple steps that I have found that will bring increase in your life. Now, do y'all want to hear that?
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
God. That's Amen. Good. Hallelujah. Well, look here what he says in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Now, I'm going to read this whole chapter, or most of it. So just, we're in church. That's all right, isn't it?
Amen.
All right. Now, notice here what Paul wrote to Timothy. He said, thou therefore, my son. Now, could I get an usher just to do me one favor? Go back and let's open the doors in the hallway. I think that'll cool us off enough we won't have to turn the air on. Just open the doors in the hallway there and that'll be good. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ.
No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must first be partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord will give you understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Now, that's not talking about when you die and go to heaven. That's talking about where you identify with his death here on the earth. Verse 12, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase into more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and they overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to dishonor and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, or love, and peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. Now, if we look at this passage of Scripture here, I've studied this for years, but over the last little bit, I just thought there's about seven basic things here, seven very simple steps that he gives us, that if we want to be a vessel that is prepared for the master's use, prepared. Now, what I mean by that is, you know, I gave this illustration last week, and I want to remind you of this. You know, you can be one of the finest doctors in the country. Let's say you have a medical degree from the finest medical school, university in the world. But if you go into the operating room and you don't have any anesthesia, you know, you can be the best trained doctor on the face of the earth, but there are some times that you would not be prepared. You could be qualified. Grace qualifies us. Grace calls us out. Grace, this is, you have to understand, we are living in the age of grace. This is the dispensation of grace. When Jesus comes back to the earth, we will no longer be living in the dispensation of grace. We will be living in the new millennium. We'll be living in the millennial reign of Christ. Now, we know that that's going to include grace because that's who he is. But we're going to be living in a new age at that point. Until we move into that age, until we move into the millennial reign of Christ, which I'm sure you feel like I do, it's closer every day. I mean, it's just obvious that things are happening at a rapid pace in this world. And, you know, we look for the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. But until we see him coming, we are living in the age of grace. Or you could say it this way, we're living in the church age. This is the age of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. This age has been happening for now over 2,000 years that we've lived in this age. And as we live in this age, we don't want to take away from the fact that we have been qualified and called out by God's grace. It is not of works, lest any man should boast and say, I did this. We know we are called out by the grace of God. But there are many people that have been called out by God's grace that are unprepared. It's important to be prepared. You can be a doctor and have the finest degree, medical degree in the world, but let me tell you something. You're not going to touch me with a dull scalpel. A doctor could have the finest degree that ever was, but if his scalpel is not sharp, I don't want him operating on me. Do you want him operating on you? If he takes me into the emergency room and just happens to be a shortage of anesthesia, I don't want that operation that day. He may be qualified, but is he prepared? We are qualified by grace, but have we taken the necessary steps in our life to be a vessel that is prepared and sanctified and useful for the Master? Amen. Everybody say the Master. Say Jesus is Lord. See, we want to be prepared in our lives. I mean, when you think about it, if somebody has done as much for us as the Lord's done for us, there's a few things we could do for Him. Amen. And I mean, these are such simple steps. You know, one, He said a good soldier would not be entangled in the affairs of this life. Now, that doesn't mean as a Christian we stick our head under the table or in the sand and forget about the issues of the earth. We are concerned and we want to be active and we want to be proactive about working in our life. Listen, like I said earlier, we want to be proactive to be people that vote. We want to have people that are Christians in political offices. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? But we don't get so entangled with those affairs that it just pulls us down every time we come out in the morning, every time we think about life. We can't even function because we're so entangled. We're so wrapped up. We're under such pressure about what's going to happen with the stock market. I mean, I've been around for a while. The stock market goes up and it comes down. It goes up and it comes down. But consistently over the years, if you look at charts and graphs, the stock market's had a steady incline up. You know, we worry about things. We get entangled in things. We're always thinking about things. And Paul wrote to Timothy and he said this, to be a good soldier, to be a good person prepared and ready for the Lord Jesus Christ to do what He wants you to do, you can't be so entangled and worried and fearful about the things of this life. You have to keep your eyes on the prize. Amen. Keep your eyes looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Keep your eyes focused on Him. Dear Lord, I don't think any of us have died yet, but if you died, God could raise you from the dead. It ain't got so bad that we died. As long as there's breath in your body, there's hope. Amen. As long as there's breath, there's hope. Amen. We think about, He said, as a good soldier, as a person that's prepared, we don't let all the news shows. I enjoy watching the news shows just as much as everybody else. But you know what? You can't put all your emphasis on that. You can't just think, oh, Lord, we're all going down the tube. We're all just going down the tube. It's all just going. No! Everybody say no. No, we always have the victory in Christ Jesus. We're more than conquerors. We are overcomers through Him. Amen. Don't buy into the recession. Don't buy into depression. You know, for a while they was talking about recession, and then they talk about depression, and then they talk. Listen. You just keep living your life listening to the Master. Don't get entangled in the affairs of this life. Can you say amen? See, we want to make sure that we're qualified, not only qualified, but that we are prepared as well. Can you say amen to that? You remember the story of 1 Kings when Elisha was following Elijah. Y'all remember that story? And Elijah went by Elisha, who was plowing. He had an oxen and he had a plow. And the Bible says there were 12 of them that were plowing a field. Could you imagine 12 oxen and 12 plows just walking along? And Elijah went to Elisha and said, come and follow me. He said, whoa, wait just a minute, Elijah. He said, I've got to go kiss my mother and father goodbye. He said, that doesn't have anything to do with me. Come and follow me. You know what Elisha did at that point? Think about this now. This is this man's living. This is his business. This is Elisha's way of making a living, was to plow, was to have his ox and to plow. You know what he did? He took that ox. He took that ox and made a sacrifice before the Lord. He took the plow, broke it up, made a fire. He burned an offering before the Lord. He said, "Bye, y'all. I am following the prophet. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. This man told me to come and follow him." And then we know the rest of the story, that when Elijah was taken up by the Lord, Elisha was there and he said, "Lord, give me a double portion of this man's anointing. Let me have a double portion of it." Do you know the scripture records that Elisha did 2 times as many miracles as Elijah did? Isn't that awesome? A double portion of that anointing came upon him because he was obedient to do what God wanted him to do. You remember the story that Jesus said, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head? Turn over at Luke chapter 9 and let's look at that just a moment. You remember that story? We have to look at this. We have to ask ourselves, are we willing to be prepared? Look at Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Because this is such an awesome scripture here about learning about being prepared. Look in verse 58, Luke 9:58. Everybody say, "I'm moving up higher." Boy, that was weak. I'm telling you all, you'd think you was climbing up a 50 flight of stairs. Come on. Let's say it again. "I'm moving up higher." Do it again. "I'm moving up higher." I tell you, I believe this church is going to move up higher this year. I believe this coming year is the time we're going to move up higher. I really do. I believe we're going to move up higher in development of gifts. I believe we're going to move up higher in the calls of God, the giftings of God. I believe we're going to move up higher in regard to our outreach in this community. I believe God is calling us. Listen, He's calling the churches. He's calling us up higher. He's calling us into a realm. But listen what we have to do. We have to make some choices in our lives. Luke 9, look in verse 57. "And it came to pass that as he went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, The foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at my home or at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." Let me share with you what the Lord is saying here. He's not saying for you to turn your back on your family because he had family. He's not saying you shouldn't have a place to live because we know that he had a home. Jesus had a home in Capernaum. What is he saying here? He's saying we cannot allow tradition, convenience, or regret to keep us from doing what God wants us to do. We cannot allow tradition. What was the tradition? Well, let me go bury my father. See, we can't allow traditional things to keep us from ultimately following God. Jesus doesn't mind you going to a funeral. You know, he doesn't really mind you going to a funeral and being a support. He said to mourn with those who mourn. Didn't the word say that? To mourn with those who mourn. So what he can't be saying that we are to reject people. That's not what he's saying. He's saying be so focused on what I'm calling you out of that you're not going to let tradition, you're not going to let convenience, or you're not going to let regrets of the past stop you from doing what I want you to do today. That's what he's saying. Don't let the convenience of a home keep you from doing what I want you to do. Don't let the tradition of family and a funeral keep you from doing what I want you to do. Don't let regrets about wanting to go say goodbye to someone, don't let any regrets keep you from doing what I've called you to do. See, we want to be sanctified and prepared, called out people to do the will of God. There in 2 Timothy 2:5, he said, "Athletes follow the rules." Amen. Athletes follow the rules. Let's look back at that just a moment. 2 Timothy, let's look at that. Turn over there with me. 2 Timothy. He said, athletes, if they want to receive the mastery, they follow the rules. in verse 5 of 2 Timothy chapter 2. He said, and if a man also strive for the masteries, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. He is not crowned except he strive lawfully. What that means is that Jesus put it this way. He said, I would that you would do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. He said, this is the fulfilling of the law and the prophets, that you would do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. And if we will live in that law, the law of Christ, the law of love, if we will live in that law, he can crown us with the masteries. We can be crowned with the masteries. You know, Jim Richards says this, and I love this statement that he made. It's an awesome statement, and you should write this down, okay? Because this is such a good statement. He made this statement. He said, obedience is not legalism unless you think you know more than God. I'm going to say that again, all right? Obedience is not legalism unless you think you know more than God. See, we've gotten away from saying, Lord, whatsoever you say, I will do. We said, Lord, if you say to do something, you're trying to put me under law. Listen, we are living under the principles of the law of Christ. The law of love. The law of doing unto others as we would have them to do unto us. Those are the laws that we live under. We live under the law of love. Obedience is only considered legalism by someone that thinks they know more than God. If God tells us to do something, obey Him. You remember when Jesus, when His mother said, whatever He tells you to do, do it. Whatever thing He tells you to do, then do that thing that He tells you to do. You're going to find liberty and grace, prosperity and peace. You're going to find increase on the right and increase on the left. It's not legalism. It's increase when we do what He says to do. I'll tell you, I don't know about y'all, but that thrills me. That thrills me. Why? Because He will tell you something to do that will prosper you. You know, recently the Lord spoke to me and Beth to give an offering into a ministry that really I'm not that real fond of, to be honest with you. I enjoy it, but it's just not, you know, it's just like not one of the top ones in your life or whatever. But you know, I was just sitting and the Lord just spoke it to my heart and said, I want you to put that offering into that ministry. And I mean, it just rose up in my heart and I said, and it was a sizable amount. And I just said that day in my heart, I said, Lord, I said, I'll do it. I said, I'll do it. Because I believe that He was wanting to do it. Y'all do understand this. The whole offering of the Lord that we bring to Him. Here, let me let y'all in on a little secret, okay? It's not for His benefit.
That's right.
Let me say it to this side over here. The offerings that we bring to the Lord, they're not for the Lord's benefit. I tell you, once we can get that figured out, every part of our life will be free because we will recognize, listen, once we get that figured out, God is only trying to get us, listen, sanctified, prepared for the Master's use for our benefit. When we give an offering, when we give our time, when we give our life, listen, when you give a kind word to someone, when you give a hug to someone, when you see someone hurting and you reach out to them, you have to understand that is, we could be a blessing to them, but you know, we're the one that's going to be blessed. We're the one that's going to benefit. And so, you know, whenever I heard this particular offering, the man was saying, you know, send in this offering, you know, they were doing something special. And so the Lord just laid it on my heart. I said, Lord, I'll do that. Do you know, when I made up my mind to do that, I didn't have the money to do it. Have you ever done that? Made up your mind that you're going to do something for the Lord. And you know, like just in a couple of days, it was there. He provided seed for the sower, and, you know, we were just able to sow that seed into that ministry. And I don't know, but I really feel like God is doing something with that. I can't even put my hand on it, but I know just out of being obedient, even though I didn't understand it, and even though I may not have liked it, that particular ministry or whatever, even that, it's not my favorite, God, just because of obedience, I did not see obedience as being legalistic. Obedience to God is not legalism unless you think you know more than God does. I think we need to pause and calmly think about that for a while.
Amen.
Obedience is not legalism unless we think we know more than God. Are we getting that?
Amen.
Thank you for that enthusiasm and that thunderous applause and support. Amen. I said, are we getting that? Amen. We need to get that in our hearts, because you know what? God is going to tell us to do things that we may not be so comfortable with. I'm so thankful for these young ones that got up here and sang today. Aren't you? See, God's deal with their heart to get up and sing, and they do it. But look, watch them in about 2 or 3 years. Watch them in a little time. But see, if we never take the step, some of y'all, God's calling to be up here in this choir. I know it just as sure as I'm standing here. Get up here and do it. Amen?
Amen.
Some of y'all, God's calling to do different things. Listen, obedience is better than sacrifice.
Amen.
Obedience, just doing what God wants you to do. I tell you, it'll bring peace to your life. But he said, you know what? He said, you're not crowned until you walk lawfully, until you do it lawfully. An athlete will not receive the crown if they cheat in the race. Amen. And then he says, The farmer must first be partaker of the fruit. In other words, some simple ways here to prepare our heart. Listen, don't get entangled with the affairs of life. Follow the rules. Do unto others as you have them to do unto you. Listen, a farmer will sow their seed. Sow your seeds. Listen, don't eat your seed. Don't eat your seed. You know, we had corn in our garden this year. Boy, our garden made so much good corn. I mean, some of the biggest and the fullest ears. I just had to beat the squirrels. I had to get there before the squirrels got to it. But I mean, big old ears of sweet corn, I'm telling you, just the big, we put them all up. I mean, we got ear after ear after ear. But you know what? I just planted 3 seeds to a hill. I just put 3 seeds about every 8 inches apart, and I got 2 rows, you know, 2 rows of 3 seeds, 8 inches apart. And when we planted those seeds, let me tell you something, a crop came in. Jesus said in Mark chapter 4, verse 26, he said the whole kingdom of God works that way. Whether that's through seeds of words that we give, seeds of our time that we give, seeds of our monies that we give. The whole kingdom of God operates on a seed sowing principle. He said, the whole kingdom of God. He said, you rise up. Here, can I tell you one place where we miss the seed, though? This is where the Lord showed me this a couple of years ago. You know, when you plant that seed, listen to me now, when you plant the seed, whatever seed that is, like I said, it could be financial, it could be words, it could be giving your time, it could be caring for other people. But listen, when you plant your seed, always keep your eyes open for the opportunities that come. The Lord showed me, he said that in that parable there in Mark 4, he said the sower sows the seed. Listen, first the blade, then the stalk, then the ear in the stalk, then the full ear. But you know where we miss it? We're looking for the full ear before we see the blade. Watch for the blades in your life. Watch for the opportunities. You know, you can watch for an opportunity to say something encouraging to somebody. You can watch for an opportunity, if somebody is down, to be the person that will pick them up. You can watch for an opportunities. I'm telling you, you can watch for opportunities for deals in stores. You can watch for opportunities that come your way. I'm telling you, God will give you the blade. Listen, but you got to sow the seed.
Amen.
The farmer sows the seed.
Amen.
Now he's telling us some ways here that we can be prepared. Remember, don't be entangled in the affairs of this life. Run this race lawfully. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Then he says, be a seed sower. Sow seeds into the lives of people. Sow seeds to help. Sow seeds to deliver. Sow seeds of your giftings.
Amen.
Amen. We're talking about ways to be prepared. Ways that we are called out by grace. But we not only want to be called out by grace, we want to be we want to be fit for the master's use.
Amen.
We want to be prepared. You know, in the Old Testament, he would tell them 3 days before the Lord showed up in the tent of Moses that they should wash all their clothes. 3 days before. He said, before you go into the presence of the Lord, make sure your garments are clean. He would tell them not to have any sexual relationships. 3 days before, he'd say, no sexual relationships before you go into the presence of the Lord. See, there were things that they could do. And we know we're not under that type of law. That's not what I'm saying. Hallelujah. Amen. That's not what I'm saying. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I'm just saying we have a heart to prepare. Our heart needs to be prepared. You remember last week we talked about when we give in tithes and offerings, don't wait till you come to church and say, well, I've got 20 I can put in there today. No. That's dishonoring the Lord. What you do is you sit down with your mate. If you're married, if you're not, you're a single person, you sit down and you get before the Lord and you say, Lord, we're honoring you with our giving. We are going to purposefully pray over what we give. We're going to purposefully purpose in our heart that we are looking unto you to supply everything in our lives. We're not just going to throw something at God. We're just not going to come to church and dishonor him and just take a little dollar bill, wad it up and tie it up and throw it. No, we're not going to do that with our time. We're not going to be begrudging when the Lord begins to deal with us to go see about someone, to care about someone, to take a meal to someone. We're not going to be begrudging in our heart. We're going to be prepared for every good work. Prepared in our heart to say, Lord, I am ready. I want to do what you want me to do. I want to be ready when you want me to be ready. I want to say what you want me to say. I want to teach when you want me to teach. I want to go where you want me to go.
Amen.
Woo! I'll tell you, when we can understand what a great salvation he's given us, Lord, honey, you can't set your seat. You can't just sit on it. Say amen.
Amen.
We can't just do that. He gave us some very simple steps here. He gave us some very simple things. The next one, now this is important. Listen to me. I'm not talking about segregation. I'm talking about separation. Everybody say, separated life.
Separated life.
That doesn't mean that you feel like you're better than anybody else. I mean, I'll get on you real quick. Anybody that feels like you're a super saint and someone else isn't. We are all made righteous by what Jesus did. Amen. You understand that? But there comes a time, and in Romans 16:17, the word says, mark those which cause division and strife among you. Mark them and avoid them. You remember here in 2 Timothy, he said, Hymenaeus and Philetus are going around telling everybody the resurrection is already passed. You know what that is? That is the message and the doctrine of ultimate reconciliation. That is the doctrine that says that everybody's going to be saved. The resurrection's already done. We're all going to be saved. It's all just great. No. Jesus said, or John said, in John's Gospel, the first chapter, the 12th verse, he said, as many as believed on him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. So, you know, you got somebody that comes down the line with a book that says there's no hell. Let me give you a little advice. Don't read it. When this book says that there is, read what this book says. Read what this book says. You see what I'm saying? He said to avoid those, avoid them. Don't go camping with them, avoid them. Avoid those that cause division. And offense. Avoid those. Mark those. Listen, I'm not saying that we feel like we're better. I'm not saying that we are segregating ourselves. I'm saying you have to guard your heart because God is the God that's seated on the throne of your heart. No man, God. He said to avoid those. He He said, stay away from Hymenaeus and Philetus because they're sowing discord. They're causing great problems. You know, it's not the fact that these people are bad people. It's the fact of what they will pull out of you. If something is pulling faith out of you, don't go around it. Guard your heart with all diligence. If something is pulling life out of you, avoid it. Amen. That's how important he said us being prepared for what God wants us to do is. It is important to be prepared for the Lord. Why? Let me tell you this. Because you are valuable. You. Paul said these people will come up with all these strange and unusual doctrines because they will exclude you so that they can feel superior to themselves. And the best thing you can do is recognize the value and the worth that God has for you, that you don't have to go sliding around or buddying around with someone that's going to steal or make you codependent on them and take your life away from you. You guard your heart. You see the value that God has for you. You recognize that you are a treasure to Him. You are. You are a treasure to Him. That's what I believe he said over in 1 John when he's talking about that you have no need that a man teach you because the unction of God will bear witness with you and show you what's truth. He'll reveal to you if someone's trying to pull life out of you or if someone's trying to edify you and build you up. He'll show you that because you're valuable to God. Real quickly in closing. Let me just go back over these real quickly. Don't get entangled in the affairs of life. No Occupy Wall Street for you. Boy, that was weak. I said, no Occupy Wall Street for you. You don't have time to occupy Wall Street. You need to be occupying the church. You need to be occupying people's houses to tell them about Jesus. Amen. See, we're not going to get entangled with the affairs of this life. Amen. Follow the rules. The golden rule, Jesus said, do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. Sow your seed, plant your crops. Avoid people that leave the path of truth. Study the Word of God. Real simple things here. Turn away from evil. He said, run from fornication. Flee it. Flee it. Let me tell you something. You get on, one time when one of our children were real little, we just were new to the internet, and they got on the internet and one of them typed in, what was it they typed in, Beth?
Amanda wanted to know about her skin care.
So what was it? I can't remember. She typed in something. Skin care. And you would not believe what come up on that screen. Well, you know what? Let me tell you something. If you are in here and something like that comes up on your screen, shut the daggum thing off.
Amen.
Turn it off. Run. The Bible says flee it. Flee fornication. You know why? Because listen, fornication will rob from you. Fornication will steal from your life. Flee it. The Bible says to flee it. Avoid evil. He said, Paul wrote to Timothy, he put it this way. He said, flee youthful lust. You know, y'all know what youthful lust are. I mean, it could be anything. Not necessarily sexual, just something that's youthful and ignorant. I know none of y'all have ever been there before. He said, study the Word of God, turn away from evil, and run from youthful lust. Listen, let me go back over these again. 7 simple steps to moving up higher. Everybody say, I want to move up higher. Don't get entangled with civilian life. Follow the rules. Sow your crop. Avoid people that have left the path of truth. Study the Word of God. Turn away from evil and flee from youthful lust. Very simple instructions there that we can be sanctified and prepared and meet or ready for the Master's use. I'll tell you this coming year, I want to be a church that's ready for the Master's use. Like T.G. Jake says, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. Amen. Say it, I'm getting ready.
I'm getting ready.
Amen, amen. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes, please? Bow your heads and close your eyes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Sanctified, prepared, and meet for the Master's use. That's us, Lord. I don't know everyone that's here today. If you are here today and you have never accepted